Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
With Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Last March, as the war in Ukraine entered its second month, we watched on helplessly as fighting got worse and worse. Images of devastation filled our screens every day, but it was the story of a young girl in a report by Pádraig O'Brien on Channel 4 News that very much brought it all home. Pádraig met 12-year-old Yeva and her grandmother Irina in a refugee shelter in western Ukraine and followed their journey across Europe, eventually ending in Dublin. Well, that incredible story is now the subject of a new book called You Don't Know What War Is. And its author, Yeva Skalietska, joins me in studio now. Yeva, you're very welcome. It's an extraordinary book, and you started writing way back in February, and you tell us about a time in the beginning when life was normal for you.
Yes, I used to spend my days with my grandmother, and I remember my city was incredibly beautiful, and there was one of the most beautiful cities in Europe. Mm-hmm. I remember with my grandma and with my friends, I used to go to the park attractions, and we had lots of fun. And I remember this when Kharkiv Zoo opened, I was one of the first visitors.
Yeah, and you talk in the book, and it really struck me, you know, your 12th birthday when you had those balloons in your room and all of the other surprises, and then your party was at the bowling alley. And that is a very normal birthday, one that we would understand very well in this country. And then very quickly after that, everything changed.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened when everything changed, that moment when you knew that things were going very wrong.
23rd of February, there was a normal day when I was with my friends. I had lots of fun. I got a knowledge from school, and every lesson I enjoyed. And I had lots of plans. I had dreams that I want to chase, to study in Oxford University and to travel around the world. That was my dreams. But on 24th of February, there was nothing was special. I was sleeping normally, but then I just heard a metallic sound. But I thought, I didn't like pay attention for this, because I thought maybe there's firework, or maybe it's just car being crashed, mm-hmm. or something like that. But I couldn't believe that the war started. But then when the loud and powerful explosion happened, I just realized that something is wrong. That's not a car. And when my grandma, she was watching missiles flying over the fields. And when she said, "Is Putin really start war with Ukraine?" I realized that he is. But I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that Russia can invade Ukraine, because I thought we just friends, and we have relatives there. My great-grandmother lives there. My father lives there. And there is no sense of war. But then, when the explosion started, I was afraid for myself, for my grandma, for my loved ones. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what to do. We just only knew that we needed to leave our apartment.
Yes, and you went to the basement, didn't you? And we get to see in the book the conversations that you were having with your friends on WhatsApp, everyone going through similar emotions. What's happening? A missile has landed near our apartment. I mean, that is gives us a very real sense of what that must have been like at that time. Terrifying, I'm sure.
There was when we came to the basement, we were sitting, and all people were trying to figure out what to do. But personally, me, and I was depressed, and I was in suffer, because there was my first panic attack that I ever had in my life. I was hearing this, I was feeling this. But we children, we don't need to hear explosions. We need to live a peaceful childhood. But all plans, when they start war, they are just broke like a glass, just glass vase.
Mm-hmm. And then that decision to leave your apartment building and go to a friend of your grandmother's. I'm sure you felt at the time that that would only be for a short period of time, maybe a day or so. Did you ever imagine that you would possibly never be going back.
I just, like, I couldn't rely that war broke out. But I just knew that when we moved to the friend's house, we knew that in our district it's so dangerous. But we hope that maybe, like, when we, like, will be, like, you know, more quiet, silence, maybe we could take some stuff, maybe later.
Yes.
But we left everything behind. But we didn't think, we knew that the district when our friend leaves, they were safer.
Tell me what it was like when you were in that house. It seemed as though you felt quite safe there for a little while. And then again, the war came to your door, didn't it?
Yeah, because when we arrived, we got all messages and my friends were chatting that there's bombings in our district, but I couldn't hear that because, like, it's far away, like 30 kilometers or more or less. But I felt, like, emotionally how for them it was horrible and how for them it was so scary. And I was trying to support them even, like, by messages. And my grandmother's friends, they started to call that there's started bombings.
Mm-hmm.
And for me it was sad, but for a little while it was quiet, but we couldn't see any missiles. We felt like it was here, it was safer. But then there was another explosion because we were living, like, in a hill, so we could hear all explosion in the villages, and even as far, far away from us, we could hear it easily.
And you write about, you give us a really vivid description of the ordinary things that were taken away from you when the war began. And Yev, I'm going to read from your book now, just a short piece. No one has ever told us what we should do if war breaks out. My hands are shaking, my teeth rattling, I feel squashed by fear. That's when I start having my first ever panic attack. Granny keeps trying to calm me down, telling me I need to focus. Soon I forgot what peace was like. Fear engulfs us. We can't remember our old dreams anymore or all the things we thought to be important. You've only got one goal, staying alive, and you hold on to it every minute. I mean, that creates a very powerful image when we hear that, but you don't want us to feel pity for you. Why?
Because even we lost our house and we lost our possession, we are still who we are. And we didn't diminished by action of the war. And we have the most important thing is life.
Mm-hmm. And you made a decision then to leave Kharkiv altogether. Tell me what it was like trying to decide with your granny to leave the city.
As in 6 days was the worst day in our life, that we could die in any minute, and every second was the most important for us. When the time was drone was dropping bombs, we thought that it would continue, it would happen again. So we don't know where next time the drone will drop bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that we need to move. We were starting to call everybody. We started to call to our friends, to taxi services, but no one agreed to take us, because there was only one reason, because there was, like, bombings in our city. And I was just depressed, and my soul was so sad.
But you were writing, Yeva, and you'd made the decision to start writing from the very beginning. What was in your mind when you were writing this down? Were you doing it for yourself, or did you hope someday that we might see your story?
It was like my safe place where I could make sense of things in my head. And you have no idea what war is unless you have experienced it. I wanted to write my feelings so after, when I will grow up, I will share with my children. I was afraid and I don't want to experience war again. And my diary will always remind me of these days and also what I lived through.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about meeting Porik O'Brien from Channel 4 and his team. When did that happen?
When we arrived in Uzhgorod and we were placed to the school where were another refugees from other parts of Ukraine, there was, like, a group of journalists, and this guy wanted to talk with me, but I wasn't ready because I needed to realize I was I was in rush. We were in panic, and you know, everything that we lived through, we needed to calm down, and we needed to realize that there's no explosion in Uzhgorod, and we are like quite safe there. And when I was trying to calm down myself, I was walking around the school. I was walking outside. My grandmother, she spoke with them, and she explained that I'm writing a diary, and they started to interesting this. And my grandmother, she said, go and tell them about your story. And I met one guy, and his name was like a Flavian Charel. And I was telling my story from last first days of the war and the last days when I was in Kharkiv, how I get to the Uzhgorod. And they proposed to me that we can make a report. I was reading some pages in Russian, and they translated them like with subtitles. And the Porik O'Brien asked me questions, mm-hmm. and I told everything, every feelings, and that I miss for my heart, for my city. I miss for my friends, and for my classmates.
And when that report was on television, that led to Catherine and Gary in Dublin seeing you.
So. Next few days, there was it was reported, and UK and Ireland, they saw this report, everybody, and so we wanted to stay in the Uzhgorod, continue to stay, and journalists were leaving, and they say, if you want to leave, we will leave you a number of priest who was in Uzhgorod, and if you need a help, you can call him, and if you would like to leave. But we were trying to find accommodation, but everything was full, and the school was, we had a rumor that school will start as education, so we understood that we have nowhere to go, we needed to leave, and we called this priest. And he gave number of volunteers in the morning, and we contacted with him quickly. And we told journalists that we want to go to the Hungary, and then they said they can bring us to the island, and it was near the border of Hungary. And we catched the train. It was delayed for 2 hours, but eventually we catched, and we immediately took the ticket. And went to the Budapest.
Now, I'm going to talk to you more about your life in Ireland since you arrived, but I want to talk to you about your friends, because that forms a big part of the book. The conversations on WhatsApp between you and your lovely friends in Kharkiv. And in the beginning, everybody seems obviously very upset, but almost in a way catching up with news. What's happening where you are? Where are you now? But then things change. Do you agree? As things move on and as the days move on, everybody is tired and weary and upset. And everybody is asking, where are you and where have you gone? And people are starting to leave, aren't they, as the days went on?
Yeah. And everybody, like, we were interested about, like, each other. Where are they going? Because like we needed to know like how are they doing in other country, we wanted to like ask them feelings because we are children and we needed to chat. If we won't have any conversation, we just like we'll drown in the sadness mm-hmm. and the grief.
I noticed when you left and went to Ireland, your friends asked you where you were and you said you were far, far away. Did you not want to say that you had left to go to Ireland?
No, I didn't want yet, because I wanted like after maybe a little while.
Mm-hmm, until you had settled maybe yeah. and were used to. And obviously it was a huge difference for you coming to Ireland. But I mentioned Catherine and Gary, who you stayed with first, and they helped you to settle in. You were safe here at least, but I'm sure it was very difficult for you, was it?
Yeah, and like we were living. Near, it was like North Dublin, and there was near airport, and when the planes were passing through, it was a little scary, because I remember this drone when who was dropping in bombs, and sometimes like I tell myself like calm down, like don't worry, you're in Ireland, it's far far away from Ukraine, but another voice tells me it's like scary.
Mm-hmm. The noise.
Mind yourself.
Yes. And how is your life now? How have you settled into life in Ireland?
I continued to attend school in Ireland, and I moved to second year secondary school. And like, and I made a lot of friends, and they're so nice to me, and teachers are so kind, and I'm improving my English. It's like, when I came to Ireland, there wasn't really, really good English, but I could speak somehow. But then when I started to attend school, it's improved much better than it was.
And are you still in touch with those friends in Kharkiv from your class?
Of course, I'm still. And like most of them, they're still in Ukraine. Of course, some of them are abroad and they moved to another countries. Mm-hmm. They all around the world, in America, in Germany. But most of them are still in Ukraine. And I keep in touch mostly who are still in Kharkiv. And at least three of them are there. And I keep in touch who is in Dnipro.
You managed to get somebody, you and your granny, you got somebody to go and check on your apartment. Can you describe what they found? I know they sent you some photographs, didn't they?
After like when first day when our apartments bombed, people like they broke a door and they just like was checking if there are bombs or cluster bomb there, is it dangerous or not. But after like 2 months, we wanted like to maybe to bring our stuff away from our apartments, and we phoned like my grandmother. She phoned a number, and she called him, and he said like, and he take pictures of our house. Mm-hmm. We knew that what happened with our flat, but like when he made a photo, it was like it was more horrible and more terrible to see than it's here. And I remember this is like fridge, which it was like so good and cool. And I love this fridge, but it was just destroyed. And this wall, three walls are just completely, this cluster bombed, destroyed everything in your past. But some things are like survived, and like bedroom, there was only windows damaged.
Your special cat though, your cuddly toy.
Yeah.
Survived.
Yeah, this cat was in bedroom, and I asked my grandma if she would kind and ask him to take this cat. But there was like less percentages if he could take this. But there was like happened a small miracle in Littlewood. And he took this cat and he gave firstly this cat to our friend. And he gave this first thing, this cat to Papella. And for me it was like special that she's safe.
So you haven't managed to get the cat yet?
Unfortunately, no, not. But I hope that someday somebody will deliver me.
You said in an interview, Yeva, how you hate the word refugee. And we use this term all of the time. Of course, you're aware of that. But we have no idea what it's like to be labelled as a refugee. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
When my grandmother said that we are refugees, for me, it was like, I didn't want to hear that. And I told her that stop, tell this. But like I'm realized that we are refugees. And then after I came in Ireland, I told my grandmother why I was ashamed of this. I was ashamed because we have no home, and it's so hard. It's so hard when you haven't no home and you have nowhere to go. And I really hope to get own house.
Well, I'm sure that will happen in time. And in the meantime, I hope you know that you're very welcome here in Ireland. You have big ambitions for the future. You said earlier that you had ambitions to go to Oxford. Do you still want to go there?
Yeah.
What would you like to be? What career would you like to have?
Maybe I would like to be maybe a journalist, or I would like to be a lawyer, or maybe continue to be a writer.
What about the music? I know you're a fantastic pianist.
This is my hobby.
Not a career for you, maybe.
Probably. We'll see through the time.
Well, you know, it's fascinating to talk to you, and I'm recommending your book to everybody. I read it at the weekend and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's called You Don't Know What War Is. It's published in paperback by Bloomsbury Children's Books, and it's out now. But it's not just for children. It's for everybody, really, for a first-hand account of what is happening in Ukraine. Yeva, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.